Hey, this is Mark Oldman. You are listening to Dane on WGN.
720 WGN live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue in Chicago. On the line with us now, we've got best-selling author of the award-winning book, How to Drink Like a Billionaire. He is one of the truly great personalities of the wine world, bringing acclaimed expertise, unparalleled showmanship, and the everyman sensibilities to connect the masses with the sometimes mysterious ways of wine, the one and only Mark Oldman. Welcome to the show. Welcome to WGN. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too, Dane. Great to be here.
So now we're going to have to add to all of yours, and we know this was there before, but you are world traveler in, I think, what, pursuit of not only, you know, great food, wine experiences, people, conversations, and experiences. You just came back from an amazing trip in Italy.
Yeah, I really did. And like yourself, I'm always in pursuit of flavor. And I went to both northern Italy and the very south of Italy, Sicily. So the great contrast and really fun.
The things that people have in common, Thanksgiving is one of those holidays that all of America has in common, regardless of what, you know, your demographics are, your background are, whatever kind of thing. It is the one holiday that we, you know, as Americans all kind of share. It's got food as a focus, wine as a focus, spirits as a focus. And as you travel, you know, you look at wine and of course, your position in and around it, you know, in Italy. I mean, that's one thing that people shared as well, right? You found people kind of enjoying the wine world there out in Italy the same way that they would here in America.
It's so true. And one thing I realized is, you know, when you travel to, let's say, Paris or Rome, people say, well, you can't get a bad meal. And, you know, I said to my wife, actually now, or fiance, at the end of this Italy trip, like, you know what, with all the wines we've had in Italy, all over Italy, north and south, we did not have a bad wine. We had better wines, wines that were better than others, but there were no clunkers. And that was so cool to see about Italian wine culture, that they care so passionately about flavor and about food and even about wine, that even when you order wine by the glass, some random wine, it's usually pretty good.
So was that a surprise to you? You know, I know that, you know, as different regions are highlighted, you know, and some come to the forefront and there's trends out there in the world. Did it live up to your standards? Did it surpass your standards? You seem like you're almost surprised that you enjoyed every single glass.
You know why? Because I really put it to the test this time, Dane. I mean, we were all over the place, low and high, you know, white collar, blue collar, Milan, Alba, all parts of Sicily. And, you know, so we tested it. It wasn't just about the most famous wineries. It was, you know, little luncheonettes off the beaten track in Sicily where they're enjoying their last crispy piece of lasagna, or little saffron-infused risotto. And just that wine by the glass, I kept expecting, okay, they're going to fail me. I'm going to hit a clunker. And there just wasn't one. Now, that said, there were these regions like the Etna region of Sicily, which is, you know, on the volcano. If you've ever been to Sicily, you know, especially the east coast of Sicily, you know, Mount Etna looms like this wild kind of gloomy but impressive. It's like the Paramount Mountain, but with a lot more drama. You know, it's got this kind of incredible draw. In fact, I met this woman from Catania, Sicily, and she's like, you know, she was a 20-something, and she's like, you know, when the volcano's erupting, and it usually erupts a little bit, it's not that uncommon for it to erupt, you know, every couple of weeks, just a little bit. She and her friends go grab some wine and go toward the volcano and watch the eruption, almost like they'd be watching a light show. I thought that was so cool, you know, natural free entertainment from the volcano.
And also a very adept and subtle way to bring in the name of a famous Van Halen guitar solo at the same time. So I appreciate that. And that was good. Of course, Italy known for its wine, even more known for its food. And one thing that you're known for is fun. People who know what it is that you do and appreciate it, have experienced it, enjoy the fun side. I love how you did some of the pairings and the videos on the trip. And you even were able to, like, what wine pairs best with a pony keg of Nutella?
That was amazing. Who knew they made a Nutella in pony keg right. or in wine speak, nerdy wine speak, Jeroboam size? I mean, we were at this great hotel in Alba, Italy, which is in Piedmonte, and they really do, in low and high hotels, they do breakfast bars beautifully. And Nutella's everywhere, even in Sicily, although Nutella's from the north of Italy. And there is just this enormous tub. I mean, you just wanted to swim in this thing. Yeah. I mean, this was just like, in fact, it was, you could say, an American-sized Italian product. The Europeans are known for their subtlety, generally, especially even in Italy and even in, especially in the north. But somehow Nutella had the good idea to go giant with this thing. And, you know, I ripped open my croissant, which is a French product, of course, and I just kept squeezing it. It was almost like a Jergens jug, you know, you pressed down. And I mean, so that was in the morning. So I'd say, were I to pair it with wine, I'd pair it with a nice sweet dessert wine. So you have the sweet of the Nutella and the flakiness of the croissant matching with like a Vinsanto, let's say, or if you want to go lighter, a Moscato d'Asti from Italy.
As you moisturize the pastry with the hazelnuts goodness from the giant jug, it was awesome. And just as you're having people have fun and maybe be a little bit more brave about their wine choices and brave about the travel and all that stuff, as you were brave enough to come back right to America, it's not always easy here, especially the holidays. The bat signal was out. People need Mark Oldman to give them suggestions, guidance, a little tutelage. You're their Sherpa, if you will, right? And so let's talk a little bit about it. We've got people can make it out to their local finer liquor store, Binnie's, get some things. What would you recommend that are some of the cool, maybe trendy, some of the neat things that people can do?
Totally. Okay. Well, to start with one of the beautiful places where I went that I mentioned, Mount Etna, that is probably one of the coolest regions. If you want to just knock them dead, and not with a wine that's particularly expensive, but something that is available in the United States. Mount Etna, which is, you know, the base of this really mysterious volcano in Sicily, it makes wine where you can almost taste the volcano in it. So it makes kind of medium-bodied, red, smoky. You could see the soil of Etna, and it's black. And you can see, like, the construction, like the cement. Within the cement of Etna, it's a darker color. So the volcano affects everything. And you might not want volcano in your wine, but it produces this really cool, smoky, minerally quality. So just go to your local wine store or go online and ask for, especially the reds from Mount Etna, Sicily. So ask for Etna Rosso. Etna Rosso. It doesn't really matter which brand you get because there won't be that many, but I've had Passa Pissarro, I had Fessina, I had Cusimano, and they were all terrific and smoky and interesting. And the real insiders are drinking red wine from Mount Etna right now. Another one I absolutely love from the north of Italy that you are going to stump, and again, this won't be expensive, but you are going to stump anyone who thinks they're a wine snob at your table. Go with Ruche. Ruche, it's spelled R-U-C-H-E with a little thing over the E. Ruche from Monferrato, which is a region outside of Alba. It's in Piedmont, so it's northwest Italy. It's near the world central center of truffles, which is Alba. But it's near Alba, which means it's closer to Asti. As in Asti Spumanti. But unlike Asti Spumanti, this is the good stuff that only insiders know about. And on my website, I did a quick video with one of my favorite winemakers. He is a bad ass, if I can say that, a bad arse individual. So cool. He's got his big kind of tinted glasses on, and he's on the label in a scene his friend the artist painted. He had gotten drunk. Together, they drank six bottles of his name's Marco Crivelli, and he makes, so it's Crivelli Ruche. You go to a good local wine store, you ask them for it. Chances are they have it, or you put it into Wine Searcher, and you can find Crivelli Ruche. Again, light to medium bodied. So it's a red. So it will go with everything. If you only choose one wine, choose a light red like that, because it will go with the crispy skin of turkey. It will go with spicy cranberry sauce or stuffing. And that will, if you're just choosing one wine, a light red like Bruichet or a Etna Rosso, very cool choices and not expensive.
Anything on and very nice choices and suggestions. The listeners are writing them down as we speak. Anything on the dessert wine, or anything like for an after dinner kind of situation?
Totally. Well, something that they do in Italy that I love, I did it in Piemonte, but it originates from Tuscany, is to get any rich dessert wine. So you can get it from anywhere around the world. In Italy, they're going to usually use something like Vinsanto or some sort of richer Moscato, but you can get any richer Moscato. Maybe it could be from Napa or Sonoma or Australia. And what they do that I just think it exemplifies la dolce vita, the good life of Italy that we should bring to the holiday, is get some biscotti and dip your biscotti in the richer dessert wine, the golden dessert wine. Get it all moist and then just nibble away at your now moistened biscotti. I'm going to tell you, any family fighting, and we know with most families it's inevitable, all that's going to go away when you're nibbling your moist biscotti.
You have permission from the mountaintop to go ahead and nibble on your biscotti and to dip it into your dessert wine. You go ahead and you do it. For those people that wonder, of course, the Wine Sanctuary, how does, and this is it, they're putting on their kind of mental picture forming abilities as we speak. How does a Mark Oldman, and you guys especially now, and congratulations, big congratulations on the nuptial side of things.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to have Bruichet. I'm going to have Etna Rosso. And then because of the wildfires that happened in Napa and Sonoma, I mean, this is where I cut my teeth in the Bay Area. And so Napa and Sonoma are sacred to me. And after those wildfires, I go out of my way to drink Napa and drink Sonoma. I even had a little tasting at the Wine Sanctuary here at my place, where I serve friends wine from wineries that were damaged during wildfires. So William Hill, Maya Camus, Ancient Oak, Gundlach Bungshoe, Storybrooke Mountain. But you don't have to grab one of those. But I'm just going to emphasize Napa and Sonoma, because these are areas that have brought us Americans so much joy, and we should give back at least by purchasing their wine. And guess what? A number of them make Zinfandel, and I've said for years that this is the red stuff, not the white, which is actually pink. This is the true, real red Zinfandel, is peppery and brambly and goes so well with cranberry sauce and spicy stuffing and turkey. So you can stay with Zinfandel. Zinfandel is kind of a uniquely American grape. So you can do Zinfandel and stay within Napa and Sonoma. So I'm going to do that. Another, let's say people are, okay, you mentioned a lot of wines, but give me another one shot, another one magic bullet. I'd say go with sparkling bubbly. A winemaker told me this once, and it is so right. Go with sparkling rosé bubbly. It could be champagne. It could be Domaine Chandon from Napa. It could be Cava or Prosecco. But sparkling rosé bubbly has the heft, and it has the bubbles. So the heft goes with anything on the Thanksgiving table. The bubbles will clean off your palate and the multiplicity of things floating around in your mouth. So, and it's also very festive. And if you want to stay with American, there's Gruet, or some will say Gruet because it's a French owner from New Mexico. It's like $12 a bottle. It's absolutely delicious. Or you can go with any number of bubblies from Sonoma or Napa. And pink bubbly allows you to stay American if you want to. And again, it will go with every, we'll even go with dessert. We'll go with everything on your table.
It was sage advice. We will have links to those and some of those things listed at WGNradio.com. I know that before we get into the holidays, we're gonna have to revisit with you and get some specific instruction direction as we get a little bit closer to those holidays. But as we let you go, what other things are going on in the world of Mark Oldman? What other adventures, excitement? The trip for sure, so you're decompressing, but what's next?
Oh, we've got a number of fun media projects in the works. Probably a little too early to talk about them, but I will tell you a really cool thing I did that I wrote about for Bloomberg, and that is a wine collector friend allowed me to taste a $100,000 bottle that he purchased.
Whoa.
So this was a 6 liter of arguably the most expensive wine in the world, this Latoche 1962. Now, here's the rub. There is a famous wine counterfeiter out there called Rudy Kerniawan, and he's serving 10 years in the clink right now. He is in jail for counterfeiting millions and millions of dollars worth of wine and hoodwinking these collectors. My friend, really good guy, grew up humbly in Texas and now is just an 80-something incredibly generous and low-key wine collector. And he unwittingly bought this bottle that was later found out to have been sourced by this famous wine counterfeiter. But here's the rub. Not all of the bottles he sold were fake wine. Some, he actually sold some real wine because that's, you know, if you're going to be a thief, a counterfeiter, a fraudster, mix in some real with some fake when you're selling bottles and it confuses the marketplace.
Whoa. Okay. So with the gift giving, you know, season coming up, people are looking for that perfect special someone. If you're gonna, and this is, I think, important warning or just cautionary tales to the listeners. If you're going to spend $100,000 on an amazing wine, to do what you can to make sure that it is after all authentic. But I mean, come on, Mark, there's really, how many guys like that can there be, you know, these sort of Bond-esque wine villains out there running around in the world?
Yeah, it's a great way to put it. He was a Bond-esque villain. But, you know, there are more than we in the wine industry would like to admit. So if you're going to buy, for example, a gift $80 or over, make sure you're buying from a reputable source and make sure that the label doesn't look weird. In other words, it can be very primitive, certain counterfeiters, like the name of the wine is spelled correctly or that what? It doesn't look photocopied. I've been in Hong Kong and I've seen certain wines that were really shabbily counterfeited. Luckily in America, you don't see that often, but just be on your guard about it.
Well, coming up to the holidays, as people are kind of looking for some of those things that they can do, and as we get closer to the holidays or New Year's, maybe that you want to share something that people can look out before they get sold out at their favorite liquor store and kind of put on ice or in kind of storage for those special occasions?
Well, you know, I always say a really good bottle of champagne is very important if you then, in addition, learn how to savor it. And, you know, still a lot of people are afraid of it. And in my book, you know, How to Drink Like a Billionaire, I do give a step-by-step guide, although I do advise people to wear, I don't do it, but I advise people to wear safety glasses and gloves because you're dealing with contents under pressure. But I think that could be a goal for a bunch of your listeners. And it doesn't have to be champagne from France. It could be American sparkling wine or Prosecco. But there's nothing like ringing in the new year with a bottle of bubbly and you've capably and eminently beheaded it.
and safely, too.
Safely.
It's safety first. Of course, you throw caution to the wind when you're going ahead and doing that. And for the other people, maybe if you have your guests coming in, you're going to have them savor. Maybe have them sign a waiver form, some kind of an insurance form to protect you and the contents of your establishment, you know, so that everybody's having fun, but they always feel like, you know, anything can happen, you know, when you're out there celebrating in a risque manner.
Exactly. And point the bottle away from eyeballs and priceless paintings. None of those Da Vinci. If you have one of those, I forgot how much it went for, $80 million Da Vinci's hanging in your house. Make sure not to savor in that direction.
Some of the simplest instructions need to be said, right? For those people that are paying attention, taking down every word, they want to know what to do, what not to do. Yes, avoid pointing it at either people that you care about or, of course, the priceless objects in your house. People want to definitely take care and go to markoldman.com. And you have a number of different ways. Of course, you mentioned the book, but a number of different ways people can get their Mark Oldman fix these days. You've got a newsletter. You've got some other things going on. Before we let you go, fill us in.
Yeah, my book is doing really well, How to Drink Like a Billionaire. I am probably coming to your city very soon, Chicago, but also Austin for the Food and Wine Festival and Aspen for the Food and Wine Festival in 2018, and likely South Beach. And I do private events all the time. And, just helping spread the word, How to Drink Like a Billionaire, without paying like one.
Carrying the torch for good times and great wine, approachable, taking a little bit of the mystery out of the mysterious world of wine. Mark Oldman, he is doing that, markoldman.com. Appreciate you jumping on the line and taking a little bit of time out. Thanks for being on WGN today.
Dane, it's always a huge pleasure.